Good morning. All right. Yeah, we don't understand much sometimes. But that's okay. My editor questioned my sermon title, Sometimes Helpless, Never Hopeless. That's the same title. I was like, yep. But I guarantee you, I've never preached the same sermon twice. In fact, it's probably not the same sermon when I started over there. It's probably changed by the time I got here. But that's okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus will show up today. And the sometimes helpless, never hopeless. And, you know, I got that from going to the doctor and asking. And I think it's just so much better than the 1 through 5. It's something tangible. It puts something in it. Always, often, sometimes, rarely, never. Think about that. Always, often, sometimes, rarely, never. Always, often, sometimes. Sometimes, never, don't forget rarely. Always and never, these two far ends of the spectrum, and you can change sometimes to maybe colloquially would be whatever. Right? We're always sometimes something, sometimes. Life gets at us sometimes. But the good news is, that Jesus is always with us. And Jesus will never forsake us. When we look at Revelation chapter 9 today, I'm telling you, this is scary stuff. So I think we'll start in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, He Himself will deliver you from the hunter's net, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with His feathers. You will take refuge under His wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent, for He will give His angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that not even a foot will strike the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. And now, here at the very end of this psalm, imagine right now, this is what I need you to do. This is what you need to do for yourself. You need to hear the voice of God Himself, the voice of Jesus speaking to you, because this is God Himself speaking to each one of us. And He says to you and to me, because He is lovingly devoted to me, are you lovingly devoted to Jesus? Are you always, sometimes, often, rarely, or never? You need to ask that question to yourself. He says to you, I will deliver him. I will deliver you. I will deliver you. I will exalt you because you know my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. Salvation comes from God alone. If that's something we haven't figured out yet, then wow. Always, often, sometimes, rarely, never. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel like God is with us. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel helpless. I'm strongly encouraging you to recognize the reality that those things happen to us. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death, period. What is that? Why is that? You know, way back 20 years ago, suicide quadrupled for teenagers since the 1950s. But we have everything we possibly need. What has gone on? I mean, this is so pre-COVID. Why are we so hurting as a world? Why do we hurt one another? I mean, we might as well just go get lunch. I mean, Jesse already delivered the sermon. Right? All right, let's go. I'm thinking about barbecue today, but Revelation chapter 9. You know, I can't escape the fact that, you know, I told the trumpet story before, but I'll toot my horn right now. But, you know, I used to play the trumpet in the fifth grade, and I'm actually not the one that told my parents that I quit the band. The band teacher did, just by accident, like, sorry, he's not showing up. When I learned that all the people going to band, the people left behind, they were just playing games, I quit going to band on my own volition. Well, yeah, I ended up back in the band. Father knows best. Chapter 9, the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the heaven to earth. The key to the shaft of the abyss was given to him. He opened the shaft of the abyss, and smoke came up out of the shaft like smoke from a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the shaft. Okay, now, I mean, it's already scary. Now we're going to go on to verse 3. Then out of the smoke, which is just blacken the whole night, right, the day. Locusts, wow, locusts came to the earth, and power was given to them like the power that of scorpions have on the earth. I am a Scorpio, they say, and you know, I have to deal with like being passive aggressive because, you know, you back a Scorpio into the corner, there's no defense. You know, a scorpion, you know, it can look pretty cute. You know, it's got those little pincers, right? But what gets you is that stinger. This is so weird. So the locusts were given power of scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree. That's what locusts do, okay? Now, like, locusts don't do that. But here's your instructions. But only people who do not have God's seal on their foreheads. Do you always, sometimes, often, rarely, or never have the seal of God on your forehead? They were not permitted to kill them, but were to torment them for 5 months. Their torment is like the torment caused by a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Here's the good news about a suicide attempt that was not successful. The percentages are now with you that you will not do that again. It's really got to be bad. These people are wanting to die. For 5 months, they're being tormented. Today is August the 28th. On April the 28th, I broke my wrist. I'm fully functional. That's 4 months ago. You think about that. 121 days? How about 180 days? Right? 5 months. It doesn't sound like a long time until you have to go through something for 5 months. I've been living with this thing for 50-some years. Every day I wake up, it's me again. Gosh, it's terrible. But I know God loves me. So, here's the deal. These locusts come out, and they're just tormenting people. Well, let me tell you something about torment. Crucifixion is the billboard of the bully, right? It's capital punishment with a capital C. We live in a world now where we do not want anybody to suffer in capital punishment. Now, I don't want to have an argument about capital punishment, but what we do as a society is we do not want any suffering. Crucifixion, the whole point is to suffer. For God so loved the world that he came down and suffered for you and me. Scorpions usually do not cause death. They can't. You know, there are five major figures in the Bible who actually pleaded for death. Moses, Elijah, Job, Jeremiah, and Jonah. Now, I think Jonah was just kind of angry about what was going on, about God's mercy and grace and compassion and abundance of love. And that there were some people that God was extending mercy and grace to. Elijah felt like he was all alone. He had just defeated almost 1,000 prophets by himself. And he thought he was the only one. And then he runs, and it's like, I just want to die. Moses. So locusts show up quite a few times in the Bible. And just to give you a little plague recap, remember the plagues, right? So you got blood, you got frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. Locusts, the plague of locusts, found in Exodus chapter 10. So if you remember the story, so God calls Moses and he says, I want you to go, I want you to free my people. So I want you to go into Egypt and I want you to go to Pharaoh and you say, let my people go. And he's like, man, I'm worthless. Like, I can't do this. And God says, like, he gives them all these things, these signs and wonders. Throw your staff down, it turns into a snake. Pick up the snake, right? All these great things. And God is, like, totally convincing Moses, you got this because I'm with you. Goes to Pharaoh. It's like, we need to go worship the Lord. Pharaoh keeps turning his mind, changing his mind, back and forth, back and forth. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh again, and he says that we need to go worship the Lord. And here is the locust deal. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt, and the locusts will come up over it and eat every plant in the land, everything that the hail left, right? So hail just comes, it just tears up your crops. And whatever's left, the locusts are just going to devour. So Moses stretched out his hand, and this east wind came in over the land all that day and through the night. By morning, the east wind had brought in the locusts. The locusts went over the entire land of Egypt and settled in the whole territory, and they just ate everything up. Everything's gone. So they say that once the locusts come in like this, that it looks like the land has been burnt, like it's been scorched. There's nothing left. And what's interesting is there is like this back and forth between horses and locusts. Like sometimes they'll say the army was so many that they look like a swarm of locusts. And here we have the locusts that actually look like a bunch of horses, an army coming in, and they're swarming in. What's interesting is locusts have multiple different names in the Old Testament. Multiple different names. And before I go there, I want to jump to Numbers chapter 11. Because I want to sit here and think about this whole idea of like where we can be in life sometimes, where life seems a little overwhelming, and we take a figure like Moses and we say, okay, well this is a pretty big dude, right? Like this is a huge character in the Bible. This is somebody we should model after, right? In fact, if you think about it, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, two people showed up, Moses and Elijah. Both of those people wanted to die. You think about that. Life is tough sometimes. Life is tough often. It's not always. So think about this. Moses, all these plagues, you got the death of the firstborn. Pharaoh's like, get the the heck out of here. My boy just died. Like, I don't even want to see you. Like, go on with yourself. Take all your people, take your cattle, take everything you have, and get out of here. And so they run away. And he's like, oh, man, that was a bad idea. Let's go get them. And so they cross the Red Sea. And then everybody, the Egyptians, so now Moses has all these people wandering through the wilderness. They're on the journey to the promised land. Things get tough for Moses. Numbers 11, verse 10. Moses heard the people, family after family, crying at the entrance of the tents. The Lord was very angry, and Moses was also provoked. So Moses asked the Lord, why have you brought such trouble on your servant? Why are you angry with me? Why do you burden me with all these people? Did I conceive these people? Did I give birth to them? You should tell me. Carry them at your breast as a nursing mother carries a baby to the land that you gave your fathers. I can't carry this people myself. They're too much for me. If you're going to treat me like this, please kill me right now. I think Moses has had enough. And so you go back and you listen to that 4 days late, right? We don't understand. We don't understand. What, like God is doing a wonder if we let him do the wonder. I'm going to read something from Hebrews, and I'm going to jump on the locust train. Listen to this, because you know that you're never alone. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter or finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that lay before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. The old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame that Jesus endured. And he has sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. Don't grow weary and lose heart. Now, I want you to think about this. The locusts. In Hebrew, there are five or six names, different names for locusts. Arbel, the swarmer. The hargul, the galloper, or the horse. The hasil, the finisher. Think about that. Like, the locust has just finished it all off. The gazam, the lopper, or the shear, and the saloom, or the solemn, the swallower, the annihilator. You know, when the locust of your life swarm in, and you pause, paralyzed by the piercing poison of the scorpion sting, and you stand stunned or collapsed because of the unrelenting reality of life, and its weight seems overwhelming. Remember, you are never hopeless. You are never without hope. Why? Because Jesus is not never nor rarely. He's not just sometimes or often. Jesus is always with us to the end of the age. Jesus will never forsake us. He is the pruner who prunes the unbearable fruit in our life. He is the finisher of our faith, proclaiming from the cross, "It is finished." Jesus is the swallower of death who gives us the victory. And ultimately, Jesus is the annihilator of evil. But we must continue to march on and march and march and march on to the city of God, the beautiful, beautiful city of God. Always, often, sometimes, rarely, never. We have some variables in our lives. Are we always, sometimes, often, rarely, never, trusting in God's word, reading God's word, loving our neighbor, loving God? Where are we? Who are we? We are God's. You see, just like the psalmist says, like, I got it. Trust in me. I got it. I will never, ever forsake you.